everybody. Welcome back to the Horror Crypt Podcast. And if you were listening last episode, 100 seconds after the last one dropped, this is the brand new one. This is the sequel to Happy Death Day, which is Happy Death Day to You. And this is the part two of 100 episodes that I've done for the Horror Crypt Podcast. And before we get started on the continuation of Tree and Carter, let's listen to the trailer of Happy Death Day to You.
Dispatch, I have an 1155 at the hospital. Need immediate assistance.
You're up. I folded your pants for you.
No way.
Dude, did you hear that or what?
Ryan, I'm back. Underlay, people!
Who's this crazy white girl?
Same day!
Everything's different this time.
Now,
the killer is coming after all of us.
Ryan!
That means I'm gonna have to die over.
Bye!
And over again. To save all of you?
Damn, this is crazy, man.
If I don't stop the killer, more people will die. If I die again, I could stay dead. Failure's not an option.
All right, let's see what you got.
Hey guys, thanks very much for coming back to part two of the 100 episodes that I have done the Horror Crypt Podcast. Technically, this would be episode 101, but I am not clowning. This is 101. This is 100 part B or part A, whichever way you want to do it. I'm just so thankful you guys have come back for part two of Happy Death Day. And this is another movie that it's absolutely amazing. I really love this one. This was released in 2019. And I think that they've actually done this a little bit better than number one. I mean, number one was, as far as I was concerned, you know, was perfect. But in number two, they just seem to go in a little bit more in depth into what's going on with this time loop, because we really don't know what the hell this time loop is all about. So the movie was actually released on the 13th of February 2019. It runs for 100 minutes this time rather than 96 minutes. The budget was $9 million, so they've actually elevated the budget. But unfortunately, the box office only took $64.6 million. And that's just at the box office, so we don't really know what it is financially with regards to the DVD hires out there or the sales of DVDs. But as I said, if they actually released number three, I would be one happy camper, because I think this is just a great idea, great premise of the movie, and I really do like this one. But this now is a little bit different, because it actually is now focusing more on what happens with the time loop. How did this time loop actually start? Now, as we know, there's always, you know, a hidden little caveat when it comes to movies. Well, this one really is that little caveat you didn't really see coming. So the sequel to Happy Death Day, this one opens up with Ryan. Now, if we remember, Ryan is the guy that kept coming into Carter's room saying, hey, did you hit that? And this is when, you know, a Tree was continuously walking out, and Ryan just wanted to find out whether Carter had hooked up. So we see that Ryan actually wakes up in his car, and because he's forced to sleep there. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's because that, oh yes, I do remember why. So Ryan was actually really nice. He was forced to sleep in his car because Tree was sleeping in his bed. And Carter was sleeping in his bed. Tree was sleeping in Ryan's bed. So it's almost like, you know, I'm kicking you out just to accommodate a girl. So we realize now that Carter and Tree didn't actually hook up in the sexual, you know, situation. Carter was just being nice to offer her a place to stay because she was so goddamn drunk. So we see now that Ryan is getting up out of his car and he's going along, and there's a couple little jump scares here and there with people, you know, guy on a skateboard, another guy asking for change. There's a lady walking a dog that the dog goes to attack Carter, goes to attack Ryan, and the dog's only small, so it's like a little foo-foo dog, but it's like, you know, these things happen. And of course, we see now that he goes to the room and finds Tree and Carter hooking up, and Carter makes him get lost, and he's like, I don't want to go back to my car, it smells like feet and Hot Pockets, but he's like, get out of here. So he's like, all right. So Ryan goes to meet with his friend Samar, I think it is, and Dre in the school science lab, because these guys are, you know, top of their game when it comes to science, and they've been working on an experiment involving a reactor they've built and are on the verge of a breakthrough. And they're on a verge of a breakthrough until Dean Bronson comes in and orders them to shut their project down due to the constant damage it does to the school's power. So now we realize that, hang on a minute, this contraption, whatever they're making, is actually starting to cause damage in the school. And the dean's like, I'm sorry, this is not happening. We're not going to have this. You're blowing out power circuits, you're blowing out fuses, you're blowing out lights. So no, we're going to get rid of this. We're going to put this into my office and we're going to dismantle it. So this is one of those things where it's like you've been working so long throughout the year to try and build this, and now suddenly on the verge of this amazing breakthrough, because of course we don't know what it is. All we see is it's just an orb, and that's all it is. And we don't know why it is this thing is causing the power outages. We'll find out as we go along. So he's just deciding he's going to put it into his office, dismantle it, and that's all. So unfortunately, Ryan, Samar, and Dre really don't have any option. They have to just give it up to him and go, okay, because he came in with security guards and to make sure that it was actually being taken out and stored away somewhere so they couldn't get a hold of it. So it really is, okay, we really don't have any other option. We have to do it this way. So later on, we see that Ryan's going through the science lab, but it's in the dark, and he's checking the closets because he wants to find out where the hell the professor, or the dean, I should say, put the machine. But as he's trying to find where it might be, he's startled by Samar appearing right behind him, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, because that was rather a nice little jump scare. But of course, right behind Ryan, when he turns out to look at Samar, there's the babyface killer emerges from the closet and stabs Ryan in the chest. Of course, Ryan then immediately wakes up at the beginning of the same day. He's in the car again. He gets out. He's approached by the guy wanting change, the guy who's skateboarding past him, the woman who's got the dog, the little dog that attacks him. So he makes his way all the way up to his room, and he interrupts Tree and Carter again, telling him what he's just experienced. And of course, this is when Tree figures out he's now caught in his own death time loop and recaps the events of the first movie to give him an idea of what the hell's going on with her. So this is what you're going to be dealing with. So she and Carter agree to help Ryan find out who's trying to kill him this time. They retrace his steps back to the lab, but nobody is in the closet when he looks there. So they're like, because they've got the baseball bat, you know, one of them's got a wrench, other one's got a hammer, so they're ready to do some damage to the person that's in the closet. But of course, when they check the closet, yep, no babyface killer there, no one's there. So, okay. So when Ryan shows Tree and Carter the reactor, she realizes that Ryan was the one who created the time loop that caused her to keep repeating Monday the 18th all over again. So it's like, okay, what the hell is that? And it's like, oh, it's just something that I've been working on. So, you know, he was, and Tree's got this idea of like, this could be it. This could be the thing that was sending me back. But we're really not sure right now. It hasn't been turned on, so we don't really know what's going on. So then the movie then transitions to a pep rally where Tree and Carter are at with Ryan when their fire alarm goes off. And of course, they were sitting there going, okay, so we're a lot safer now. We've got people around us. We're more safe in a crowd. But of course, you see, you know, maybe a couple of dozen baby face masks of people wearing them. So it's like, and of course, Ryan's like, I'm really not feeling very safe at all being in here. And they're like, no, you're fine. You know, it's okay. Of course, the fire alarm goes off. So as the students are being escorted out, Ryan spots the baby face staring at him, right at him, and starts to run in the opposite direction. Of course, the baby face is following closely behind him, ready to kill him. Of course, he catches up to Ryan, but Tree knocks him out with a baseball bat. So it's like, okay, awesome. We've got him. This is going to be the quick part of the movie. We're going to get into something else. Of course, they take off his mask, and they're shocked to find out that the killer is none other than Ryan himself. So it's like, oh, how the hell did that happen? How do we get to Ryan being that Ryan's here? What? How's Ryan in a babyface mask? Well, actually, it's Ryan from an alternate timeline, and he's come to kill Ryan from this timeline to prevent him from creating a catastrophic event with the reactor. So Ryan 1 goes to activate the reactor to try and fix the timeline, just as the dean comes in trying to stop them.
You sure you don't have a twin brother? Maybe you were separated at birth.
Of course I'm sure.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, it's right. Who are you?
Who you think I am, dummy? It's you.
Duh.
What the hell is going on here?
Look, I was trying to close the loop, but somehow I got knocked into a parallel time loop. We're all in serious danger. The longer we exist in the same dimension, the worse things will get. It's a butterfly effect. You have to kill him. Me? He's going to create bigger problems if you do not stop him. Kill him now! No, screw that. Kill him. You're wasting your time. Do it! Dude, I'm your friend, not him. You know, screw this. I'll just take care of it myself. Stop him!
Wait, Ryan, maybe you should stop.
Forget him, he's crazy. I'm the one who designed this. I know what I'm doing. You don't understand what you're doing! Shut up, fake Ryan!
Ryan, this doesn't feel right.
Ryan, stop!
A parsec is a measure of distance, not time.
Okay, so now you're gonna call Han Solo a liar?
No, see, if a normal Kessel Run is...
Drake, help me! Come on!
Whoa.
Dude, did you doze my UFO again?
What did I tell you about turning that thing on? Turn it off now! Turn it off now! Just get him!
Ryan, just turn it off, man!
Ryan, what are you doing?
Guys, take the wrench from him! He's a college student! Accept the wrench! Don't be scared of him! Okay, all right, just unplug it! Unplug the machine! Unplug it!
Of course, as we hear, as the reactor goes off, it causes a crazy blast that knocks everyone back. And the, you know, I love the slow motion of the explosion where people are flying back. You know, the Yoo-hoo that one of the guys is drinking, that goes flying out the way. But, you know, very, very slow. It's a really great cinematic part of the movie. I really like this one. So, of course, everyone's knocked back and the screen then goes to black. And it's like, okay. Then suddenly we see the tree's waking up in Carter's room, and he repeats the same thing to her that he said every time she woke up on her birthday. She hears her birthday ringtone and realizes that she is once again waking up on Monday the 18th.
Oh, hey, you're up. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you wanted to sleep in or not, so. Tree?
No fucking way.
Hey, I folded your clothes for you.
Ryan! Get in here right now!
Wait a minute, you two know each other?
Yes! No. Ryan, you dumbass! You sent me back!
What?
It's Monday the 18th! I don't believe this. I just got out. How could you do this to me?
Who's this crazy white girl?
Maybe it was a bad dream or something.
You're right. It is a bad dream. It's a nightmare! This sucks! It sucks the biggest mega balls in the history of shitty ball suckery! I'm okay.
You sure?
Yes. He just needs to fix this now.
This is a joke, right?
I wish. Ryan, we need to go to your lab, turn on Sissy, and figure out how to send me back.
How'd you know about Sissy?
Oh my God, just... Let's go. Andale, people! A simple no thanks would do. Sorry. Jason.
I can't hear you. haven't returned
anyone. You are gay.
So, of course, as you can hear, and Trey, Tree is so absolutely pissed off. And why wouldn't you be? You've just got out. And as in The Godfather, they got me out. Pull me right back in. It's like, you know, she just got out. She doesn't have to relive the 18th. But guess what? She has to do it because this explosion, it's done it. It's sent the time loop back. So she's back. So she is absolutely pissed off. And she's angrily storming across the campus with Carter and Ryan. And I love how, you know, the guy who had been asking around, she just comes back, you know, kind of back to him and goes, you know, you're gay, just don't bother me, just go away. And of course, as they're going along, they get Samar and Dre together after discovering that the reactor actually does work, and Tree demands they fix it so she can return to her normal day. So Tree goes to her room and finds Laurie. She asks for the she asks for the poison cupcake, and she figures that Laurie was preparing to give it to her, but she tells Tree there is no cupcake, which means that Laurie is not planning on killing Tree. So while in the dining hall, Tree sees in horror that in the timeline, Carter is dating Danielle. And Danielle is one of these really prim and proper sort of like girls, but she's not prim and proper. She's a bitch. I put it that way. But she is gorgeous. I mean, she is an absolutely gorgeous girl, but she's got the looks and the body but not much else. Her personality is horrible. But of course, when she's walking over, you know, Tree was like, oh my God, yeah, shit, I forgot to go to this house meeting. Because this is when she comes up. And, you know, she's sitting around with all the other guys. She's sitting there with Carter and Ryan and Dre, the young girl, and Samar. And so they're all just sitting there, and this is when Danielle comes up, and, you know, she does apologize for not being at the meeting of the house. And this is when Danielle looks at Tree and goes, ooh, as if to say, these people are not where you're supposed to be. So, ooh, why would you be associating with these people? But Carter gets up and they embrace and kiss. So it's like, oh my God. So it is really true. They are dating. So unfortunately, this is something that she's going to have to get used to, because Carter obviously is dating Danielle. But she realizes that this Danielle is not as bad as the Danielle that she knows all too well. Yes, she's very, very presumptuous of the people that she's associating with, but she's not as nasty as what she, you know, she has been in the past. So Tree then goes to join her dad, David, for their birthday lunch. And to Tree's very big surprise, her mother, Julie, is alive in this dimension. So it's like, you know, she hasn't seen her mother in 3 years. So she's just overcome with emotion and joy and excitement and all that sort of stuff. So it's really wonderful that she's able to get another second chance. But in this dimension, this is the dimension that she's actually alive. So, of course, they, you know, they embrace like you would do, and they celebrate their birthday together. And, of course, then Tree later looks through her phone to see years of memories with her mum that she never knew about. And it's like, oh, that's right, I'm actually not living, this is not my life, this is another dimension life. This is not, all the memories that are in my phone are not my memories. So just as Tree is deciding to stay in this dimension, she sees a news report about John Toombs, which is the guy who was being taken to hospital. She rushes there to kill him and grabs a fire axe. As Tree walks into Toombs' room, she's caught by a cop and is forced to drop the axe, and he cuffs her because he's got no idea what the hell she's doing. You know, she's there to kill this guy. He might be there for a routine operation. Who knows? So as the cop is escorting Tree out, because, you know, this is what you do when you're a police officer, you take them into custody. So as they're escorting her out, the babyface killer stabs the killer to death. So I was like, okay, so he's now stabbed Toombs to death. So exactly who the hell is this killer? So she still thinks that Laurie is the killer until Laurie turns up in the elevator behind her and grabs Tree to safety and says, okay, let's get the hell out of here. Laurie takes her through an area that's under construction, but the babyface killer gets there before them and stabs Laurie in the chest, killing her. So I was like, okay, so Laurie is now not the killer. So who the fuck is this killer? So remember, now Tree has still got her hands handcuffed behind her back, so she's running around all over the place. He then chases Tree up the stairs, but she manages to trip him down the stairs, and he quickly gets up and chases her to the roof. And as they're running, and as the killer is running behind Tree trying to get a hold of her, she loses her balance and falls to her death from the roof of the building. Of course, Tree then wakes up on the same day again in Ryan's room, and so she goes with Ryan to the lab to explain to him and Samara and Dre again so they can close the time loop, because she's like, this is what happened, you have to, you know, do this. And she goes, however, you know, how do we do it? Ryan's got like, well, I don't know, because this thing, we don't know exactly how this thing is working, because, you know, the algorithm that we've got is not working. And they're like, well, okay, well, there's got to be a way around it, you know, that we can actually go through step by step to make it work. So they're like, okay, well, what can we do? So finding the right algorithm to get the reactor running again involves Tree having to die multiple times until she can memorize the right information that will give them the algorithm. And I love their idea behind this to try and get Tree to do this.
Okay, you said everything resets but your memory, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, then you're just going to have to be a living record.
You mean memorize everything?
Yeah.
That's genius.
Yeah. No, that's not genius. I'm not a scientist. And hello? I mean, you do realize there's a killer after me, right? That means I'm gonna have to die over and over again until you guys figure out how to close the loop.
I mean, I guess you could just kill yourself before they find you.
Wow, another genius idea. Better than being chased by some crazy guy in a baby mask.
Do you have a better idea?
Knew you were gonna say that.
So I love this part of the movie because it goes into a suicide montage. And I know that's a triggering word for a lot of people, so I do apologize. But this movie goes into the suicide montage with the deaths such as Tree electrocuting herself in a bathtub. And of course, when she wakes up, you know, Carter looks up from the desk and, you know, Tree has got her hair, like, it's almost like Weird Al Yankovic sort of site. It's standing on end. There's smoke coming out of it. It's just awesome. And she like looks at him and winks and it's like, yep, okay. Because then you also see her go into a hardware store and she decides to drink drain cleaner. She she's running in the running along a street, and of course she dives headfirst into a wood chipper. The best one, the best kill that I've actually seen is she decides to go skydiving in her underwear with no parachute. Now the way it's set up is that the next scene you see Carter and Danielle sitting on a chair on a bench kissing, and you see Tree come falling in front of them, flipping the bird as she hits the ground and blood goes absolutely everywhere, where Carter and Daniel scream and run away. However, when she wakes up again, the added trauma from her constant dying continues to take the toll on her and she collapses in Carter's arms before she's taken to hospital. So once again, the age-old premise is that if you know, in the first movie to this movie, is that the more that she dies, the more that she's being, having her body being taken a toll. So it's becoming more and more serious that she's doing all this damage. Yes, you're not having to run away from this killer. You're doing all these amazing things to go and kill yourself. But, you know, this whole thing is it's injuring you as you go along. So Tree is met by Gregory, who doesn't know who Tree is, since, you know, she's not his student anymore. So he's, you know, she was really defensive against him. And he's like, I don't know who you are. You're just a patient. We also find out that it's Laurie who he's having an affair with, not Tree this time. So Tree tells him to go away, get Laurie away from the tombs. Now, you know, as I've said, I really touched on it. Laurie is a nurse in the hospital, so she's got access to tombs at any time that she's at work. So this is where Gregory is told, go away, go and get her away from him because he's going to do something. So she's escorting him to the operating room. This is Laurie, and Tree runs out and knocks the cop out, which is going with him, and takes his gun. When he gets to the OR, Laurie's already dead, so Toombs already done it. So Toombs appears behind Tree, but she shoots him twice. She asks who freed him right before the babyface killer appears and tries to grab the gun out of Tree's hand. She then sees a tank of flammable gas and shoots it to kill both of them. And once again, Tree wakes up and pleads with her friends to please fix the loop fast. She doesn't know how many more times she's got before she stays dead, because it's getting more and more serious. These injuries that she's, you know, going through is getting worse and worse. And she's like, please, for the love of God, just find the loop, close it. I need to stop dying. So this part of the movie is very, very tender, and I'm actually going to read this to you because it's a better way that I, instead of me trying to explain it to you, it's better if you listen to it. So Carter follows her on the way out, and she tells him that they are together in another timeline, and that's why it's hard for her to make the choice between him and her mum, because it's like, okay, well, if I stay in this timeline, you're with Danielle, but if I go back to my own timeline, my mum's dead, but I'm with you. So it's really hard to try and get that choice. So Carter tries to tell Tree that she is living someone else's life and that she should not stay in this past, because it's like, you know, you shouldn't stay here. Go back to your own time loop, because, you know, and she's like, yeah, but if I go, then I lose my mum. But you're with, you know, you're with me. But if I stay in this time loop, I have my mum, but I lose you. So Tree leaves to go to meet her parents for lunch and starts to feel pain again. And it's like, okay. And she's like, I'm fine. I'm just not feeling the best. So Tree asks her parents to take her away from campus. And as they drive, Julie mentions eating a treat with Tree for their birthdays. But Tree realizes what Carter meant, that these memories are not her own. So when she says, oh, you know, do you remember getting such and such at this place and we ate it together? She's like, yeah, no, I don't. And it's like, oh, and this is Tree's moment of realization. This is not my life. I'm leading Tree's life in this dimension, not mine. So what am I going to do? So they do. The family stops at a motel to rest, and Tree gets a text from Ryan saying that they are close to closing the loop. And while David's in the bathroom, her father, Julie says, you know, Tree says to Julie, you know, what would you do if you'd never met Dad? And Julie says she can't imagine a life without him, and tells Tree how she changed her life after she was born. It's like, oh, you know, what you did for me. And it's the same way with my son. He changed my life when I saw him born. So I can understand that. And I'm sure, you know, people that are listening right now who are parents have got the same feeling. You know, you see your child being born, it changes your life. And those of you who don't have children yet, it will happen to you, guaranteed. I promise you. So the tender moment is interrupted when Tree sees on TV that Toombs has escaped and that he has killed Laurie, the cop, and Carter this time. So it's like, okay, because, you know, Carter went to stop Toombs. So Tree realizes that she has to stop the loop from closing, so, or else Carter and Laurie are going to stay dead. So she grabs the car keys, rushes out trying to reach Ryan, but failing, she sees that there's a power plant. So she decides, fuck it, I'm just going to end this. So she drives straight into the power plant and blows the car up, blowing the transformer up just seconds before the reactor goes off. So I was like, okay, so that works. Because Tree then wakes up and goes to tell Ryan the algorithm. But this time, as she decides to return to her own timeline, Bronson and the two security guards, the dean and two security guards, have already come to seize the reactor a whole day earlier than planned. So I was like, oh, Jesus, just now we've got the algorithm. We need to get the timeline closed. What are we going to do? So needing an urgent plan to steal it back, Tree gets Danielle to pose as a blind French student to distract the dean while they take his keys and get to the office where the reactor is before taking it back to the lab. So before returning home, Tree goes around and she's basically trying to make amends. She's trying to get closure on everything that's going on because she knows that she's going to be leaving this timeline and going back to her own. So she approaches Laurie and sincerely talks to her about ending her affair with Gregory. And, you know, she knows he's not worth it, so, you know, you should really end it. Tree then gives Laurie a hug, and then she goes to Danielle's room to just say how wrong she was about her, because she's like, you know, you are really a nice person. However, she goes in only to find that a guy is emerging from the bathroom with nothing but a towel, and Tree sees that Danielle sucks in both this dimension and the other dimension. So finally, Tree goes to have the birthday lunch with her parents, but she asks her dad to leave her for a moment with her mum, and which is basically Tree having one more final moment with her mum. It's, you know, basically to say thank you for everything that you did for me, thank you for everything, and it's really a very, very nice moment. So Tree goes to the hospital that night to save Laurie, and she gets to the room with you know, where the killer is, which she thinks is Toombs, but unfortunately, you know, she grabs the cop's gun and kills Toombs before he can attack. So she's like, okay, that's out of the way, I've done that, there's no worries. The ladies run out but are cornered by Babyface. It's like, hang on a minute, okay, yep, all right, now we understand. But hang on, if it's not Toombs, if it's not Laurie, who the fuck is this killer? And Tree guesses correctly that the killer is actually Gregory, wanting to silence Laurie for the affair, which is exactly the way that she thought in the first movie that Gregory was going to kill her to silence Tree from letting his wife know they were having an affair. But before they can run, Gregory's wife, Stephanie, shows up and shoots Laurie. She then hands the gun to Gregory to kill Tree, and it's like, okay, I didn't see this one coming. This is like one of those spoiler alerts. It suddenly happens. But before he shoots Tree, he shoots Stephanie first. And he basically says, well, I just wanted a divorce anyway. So Tree runs and grabs a weapon, and Gregory goes after her, and he gets Tree into a room containing a high-powered magnet, which is an MRI machine. And of course, this is not turned off, but you see them turn it on. So it always runs, even at nighttime. It only ever turns off if there's a power problem or if there's something catastrophic that they need to turn the machine off. It's always running. So as they get into the room and, you know they're fighting backwards and forwards, because he's holding the gun, he gets put, magnetized to the thing. And then, of course, then Tree then pushes a bed towards him, which also magnifies him. So now he's stuck to this thing. And she's holding a screwdriver because that's the only weapon that she was able to find. And he's trying to draw his gun on her. But as she does in some final words for him, she basically says, "You're screwed," and lets go of the screwdriver, which goes through Gregory's chest, killing him. So I was like, okay, so now we've got Gregory, who is the baby face killer. He's dead. We've got his wife, she's dead. So Toombs is dead. Laurie's dead. So there's no other possible way that there's going to be anyone that's going to show up to go and kill Tree. She is safe. That's it. We're done. There's no chance that she's going to get killed. So, of course, at this stage, Carter shows up at the hospital, and we also see that Laurie is not being killed. She was just badly injured. So Tree tells Laurie that she's sorry for how things have turned out, but, you know, she wishes that things could have been different, and Laurie really doesn't know what she means. It's almost that quizzical look on her face like, huh? What do you mean by that? But, you know, it doesn't really matter. But, of course, now we transition back to the lab, and Ryan, Samar, and Dre have got the reactor up and running again, but the dean, once again, and the security guards are trying to stop them. So Samar and Dre are holding them off for as long as they can while the reactor is turned on. So Tree tells Carter again that they're together in another timeline, and they share a kiss right before the reactor reaches its mark, and a mere second before Bronson can pull the plug. Once again, we now transition to everyone waking up in the room right before the first blast, and Tree looks over at Carter and asks him, what about Danielle? And he goes, who? And of course, she's like, oh my God, that's it, awesome. I'm in the right timeline, thank God. So now we've arrived that we are in the right timeline. She is with Carter. Danielle is always a bitch. The reactor has been done, so we are now back into this time loop. Everything's fine. So we see that she's now home. And of course, Carter and Tree both share a very passionate kiss because, you know, that's what you do. Is this the end of the movie? Let's see. Maybe not. During the closing credits, Tree, Carter, Ryan, Samar, and Dre are forced to do community service for turning on the reactor. A couple of vans pull up. They're black vans, very ominous black vans. And an agent from the DARPA comes to escort the five to the headquarters. And it's like, okay, we're in a bit of trouble here. They've taken the reactor and commend Ryan for its scientific breakthrough. The DARPA wants to conduct an experiment with it, meaning they need a human subject to trap in a time loop. And Tree says, I've got the perfect candidate. The final shot shows Danielle waking up in a bed screaming. The movie then goes black, and that is the end of Happy Death Day to you, and that is the end of episode 100 of the Horror Crypt podcast. Wow, thank you so much, everyone, for sticking with me on this episode, part one and part two. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome for coming to visit me every time at the Horror Crypt podcast. I hope you've enjoyed part one and part two of Happy Death Day. And look, on a scale of 0 to 5 buckets of blood, 0 being how do I get this time 100 minutes of my life back, to 5 it was a perfect movie and I'd watch it all over again, this is another 5 out of 5. If you watch this movie, you will not be disappointed. The only thing you'll be disappointed about is that they haven't made a part 3, because it's just awesome. It would be awesome to see what happens with Danielle, what she's been experiencing when she wakes up screaming in the bed. So look, I thoroughly enjoy this movie. It is one of my favorite movies to put on, and I'll watch this maybe 2 or 3 times a year, because it is just that much fun to sit there and watch. So I've really enjoyed doing this, and this is an amazing 100 episodes that I've actually done. I guess if you look at it, Happy Death Day to You is episode number 101, but this is part 2 of 100 episodes, and I've loved doing this, and I was so excited about doing this for you guys, and just being very, very honored and humbled and just thrilled that you guys come and visit me, and just the response that I've actually got, the amount of downloads that I have. So thank you so much once again for coming to visit me. Before we get finishing on this week's episode, or this entire 100 episodes, I am going to do Paul's Fun Facts of Happy Death Day Part 1 and part two. So now, because I'm going to be doing fun facts of Happy Death Day 1 and 2, I'm not going to do huge amounts because I know you guys have been going through a very, very long podcast this week. So let's start off with Happy Death Day 1. So the Bayfield University baby killer costume was designed by Tony Gardner, who also designed the ghost face mask in the horror icon Scream films. I didn't even know that one. And which was a reworked version of the Father's Death Halloween costume. I don't know about that one, so I'm not really sure what that one is. But I love it, the fact that he actually was the designer of the Ghostface mask. Now, there is a scene in this movie, in Happy Death Day 1, where you see Tree walking naked through a campus quad. And the scene where Tree walks through the campus quad naked had to be done quickly, given that it was being filmed on an active college campus. This presented the risk of students witnessing the scene being filmed and or taking photographs. So the crew took extreme precautions to clear the way of any potential onlookers. And in the end, they managed to do just 2 to 3 takes. So that is very interesting. But I still don't know whether it was really... You don't see anything. I mean, you see her butt. That's fine. But you don't see anything else. So I don't know how you can... I think maybe it was just, you know, they had something covering her front and you just saw her butt. You know, I don't know, but it works. It works for me. I'm glad. So director Christopher Landon tested wearing the option of a baby face mask for the killer in the office, and he scared a worker so much so that he confirmed his choices were correct in wearing that mask and having that mask as the mask for the movie. So just one more for Happy Death Day Part 1. So when asked why a baby mask, Christopher Landon said that he needed a combination of something that would pass for a mascot on a college campus and that was both scary and funny at the same time. Plus, he was expecting a son at the time, so he had baby on the brain. So I think that's actually really, really cool. So we're going to go over now to fun facts of Happy Death Day Part 2. So now in this one, there is quite a number of trivia points. So I'm only going to touch on maybe 2 or 3, maybe 4, depending on if they're interesting. So like in the first film where Carter announces the story bearing similarities to the plot of Groundhog Day, he establishes the similarities with this sequel's plot to Back to the Future Part 2. There are also some small nods to the film, like the wood chipper being from Biff's tree removal, and also a clock tower scene. So I think that's actually really cool. Christopher Landon, who is the director, announced plans for a third film as soon as the production of this film wrapped. And as of this recording, it still hasn't been done yet. They don't know what's going on, whether it's trying to get a storyline that would actually make sense or trying to get the people interested in doing the third one. I don't know, but I'm hoping and praying and got my fingers crossed that there will be a chance of actually getting that one done, because I think it would be, as I said, it would be great to find out what actually happened with Danielle. I'd really love to see that. So Tree's t-shirt says FML on it, but in certain photos promoting the film, this was changed to OMG. I don't really know why that was, but you know, hey, what doesn't really matter. And just one final one to finish off this podcast. So the film was released in the United States on February the 13th, 2019 by Universal Pictures. Critics praised the Ruth's performance, so that's Tree's performance, as well as the film's shift to a more sci-fi tone, although some noted that it's a derivative of the first film. It's kind of like the first film, but it's not. It's hard to explain. You know, you do see the time shifts and there's some rehashing of the old story, but it really is played in a new way. So I do like the aspects of this movie playing against the first one. So it does actually, it's very cohesive in the storytelling. It grossed $64 million worldwide against a $9 million budget. A third film, Happy Death Day to Us, is in active development. But as I said, as of this recording in 2023, it still hasn't come out yet and there's no plans on it right now. So I don't know. I'm hoping beyond hope they actually release a part 3, because I'd really love to see where this franchise is going. But look, thank you once again so, so very much for coming to visit me at the Horror Crypt Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me for 100 episodes. I am thoroughly honored that you guys like this podcast, that you guys come and visit me every single week. And I'm just amazed that I'm doing something that is giving people so much joy. And I love doing this. I will not stop doing this. I am going to be dragged away from my studio kicking and screaming, because this is something that I really enjoy doing. It's a passion of mine. And I just love watching these movies. And I cannot believe I have watched 100 horror movies. So look, in saying that, come back next week for another great episode, another great movie. And I'm going to say once again, thank you so much for coming to visit me. And until next week, I'll creep you later.
Motherfucker got blood all over my best clown suit.